Let's turn this morning to Matthew chapter 13. Those of you who know me know I'm not a big fan of series. I don't do a lot of series. Although after the first year, we are going to do a series. There's things going on in the world, and after the first year, we're going to look at a series on blessings and curses and the occult and demonic influences, and it's time. There's too many people that should know about these things, and they don't. But Christmas isn't the time for that. I don't typically do series, and I don't typically re-preach the same message over and over and over and over, and I don't typically wear shoes. But there is one message I preach every year, and I always do it at this time, and I will do it again this morning because it's important. Matthew chapter 13, verse 34. Now, Jesus has been speaking to the people already, and he's been talking to them about a number of things, and he's speaking to them in parallels. Matthew's the author of this book. Verses 34 and 35, he just makes a comment that I think is worth paying attention to. He says this. He says, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. And so was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Let's pray. Father, help me today to share your word with your people. I pray, Father, they would be strengthened and encouraged by it. I pray, Father, that you would speak to them and give them eyes to see and ears to hear, Father, so the parables would be clear and understood. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is how Jesus spoke to people, and I love that about him. He would take little bits of everyday life and he would express kingdom truths through these bits of everyday life. He would take them through a relatively deep spiritual principle using pictures of farming or things like that. Now, in fairness, is this really the best way to express a truth? You know, probably not, right? I mean, it's just easier just to come out and explain it, right? This is what it is. But he tended not to do that a lot. And at first, when I first started reading the Bible, I found it strange. It's like, why don't you just be on? Why don't you shoot straight? Why don't you tell them what's going on? And the truth is, I think the disciples found that a little strange too. If you were just to go up to verse 10, the disciples asked him, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? See, they thought it was weird too. And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. And now he's going to quote Isaiah 6. This is the method. This is the logic behind it. Though seeing, they do not see. And though hearing, they do not hear or understand. See, he is opening his mouth to express things that have been hidden since the creation of the world. Right? They were secret things from the very beginning. The people's hearts, even at this early stage, their hearts, I mean, Messiah has just come, but their hearts are already calloused. The people could barely hear. Their ears were just not clean to hear, right? They it was fuzzy, and they couldn't see. They had already closed their eyes. Approximately 30 years earlier, Jesus would be born, and a group of wise men would come to Jerusalem. They would come from the east, And they spoke about the birth of a king. They saw his star, they said, in the sky. That sign that they'd seen impacted them heavily, and so they came to see what was going on. They traveled from their home. They didn't know anything about the prophecy of Bethlehem. They didn't know anything about the prophecy of a Messiah coming. They just saw a king had been born through the stars. If they understood it, they would have went right to Bethlehem, but they didn't. So they came to Jerusalem. They just followed the star. And they sought out Herod. Do you know anything about this king? He had no idea. And he went and talked to the rabbis, the teachers. See, they did know the prophecies. They knew when Messiah was supposed to appear. Right? Daniel had told them. They knew the approximate time. And they also knew the place that he was supposed to be born. They knew it was Bethlehem. And so the rabbis would share this information with Herod, and Herod in turn would take it back to the wise men. But you know what I find odd? Not a single one of the teachers of the law, not one, would go to investigate themselves. What hard hearts. Somebody comes and says, hey, there's been a king star appear in the sky, and we think we'd like to know more about what's going on. And you know the prophecies. A king's supposed to be born. You know who he is, and you even know where he's supposed to be born. You'd think somebody would go. Send a servant or something. Nothing. Their hearts were hard. It's to me an amazing blindness. It's a stunning lack of vision. This is what it is to have a calloused heart. And it's the very definition of your eyes being wide shut. You just don't care. And so Jesus spoke to the people in parallels. And I want you to understand, Jesus isn't being mean. He's not going, well, this is I got to make this complicated for you. That's not what he's doing. Remember what he used to say all the time? He'd say, him who has ears, let him hear. See, he was going to speak spiritual truths to the masses, to large groups of people. And here's the thing about spiritual truth. Once you hear it and understand it, you're responsible for it. I mean, that's a real weight. Once you understand the only way to heaven is through Christ, you're responsible for that. And your choices, you will bear the weight of your choices. Jesus was speaking spiritual truth to the people, and he was speaking a lot of spiritual truth to these people. And by speaking in parables, he could speak in a way that didn't make everyone responsible. Jesus' intention was never to put heavier loads on people. That's what the Pharisees were doing. By using parables, only those who had ears to hear were able to hear, and only those who heard were responsible for the weight of what the truth was that he was sharing. Some people would hear this truth, and they would go home cut to the heart. And other people would have went home saying, honey, I heard the best story this afternoon. This guy's just the greatest storyteller you'd ever hear. This is why the Lord spoke to people in parables. And if you know me, you know I have a tendency to speak in parables too. I do that a lot. Sometimes I'll be out talking with people, and I'll just rephrase Paul in something a little more modern and go, wow, that's really deep. And I go, yeah, I know. It's nothing new. It's nothing. I'm just rephrasing. Sometimes I will share truth in ways that aren't abundantly clear, and people will call back later and go, that was really what you... It's like, uh-huh. What you just experienced is having ears to hear. Why would I do that? Because there's no sense weighing people down with burdens that they don't need to be weighed down with. Sometimes you need to hear truth. Okay, and so this brings us to our Christmas tree over here. Some people are quite offended that a church would have a Christmas tree. I get it. But our Christmas tree isn't an accident. It is a parable that I use every year to speak to people, and I use it to speak to whoever has eyes to see and whoever has ears to hear. Some will see it and hear it and understand it, and others will have no idea. And it's okay, because the truth of that particular tree is proclaimed every single year. Christmas trees are, they're a special kind of a tree. All other trees bear fruit through the work of the keeper, right? Whoever the person is in charge of the tree, the groundskeeper or whatever. Take an apple tree, for example. The keeper will water the tree, and he'll dig around the tree, and he'll fertilize the tree, and he'll make sure that the tree produces its fruit. And after some time, right, it's not going to, you don't just plant the tree and pick the fruit tomorrow morning. After some time, you'll be able to take fruit off the tree. And in most cases, there's probably exceptions, but in most cases, the amount of fruit that the tree produces and the kind of fruit it produces, that's largely dependent on the efforts of the person who's taking care of the tree. Christmas trees are nothing like that. They're nothing like that at all. In fact, today, most trees aren't even real trees. I mean, that one there is some wire and plastic bent around to look like a tree. It's a synthetic sort of thing. They don't take any water. They don't have any aroma. There's no need to put fertilizer on them. And at the end of the season, those of you who have Christmas trees in your home, most of you will disassemble them and put them back in the box and put them back in the garage, so you can use them again next year. But one day every year, one day, December 25th, these unusual trees bear their fruit. It's not peaches, it's not apples, it's not any literal fruit. It's gifts. Christmas trees bear gifts. They bear gifts of all shapes and sizes, all different manner of things. No two people, in most cases, pick the same fruit off the same tree. It's very strange. Apple trees come on apples, and that requires a certain amount of work. Presents come on Christmas trees. In Europe, they actually put the presents on the tree. In America, our presents are so big, that just wouldn't work. I mean, we got a big present, so we put them under the tree. Either way, the gifts are there for you. They come to you via no work at all. You haven't watered it. You haven't fertilized it. You haven't kept it or taken care of it. You might have had to sort out the lights when you put it up, but everything you find under or maybe on your Christmas tree is a gift. It's free. Didn't cost you anything. You might call it a grace. See, someone loved you. Someone marginally liked you. Someone is an acquaintance of yours. But they felt compelled to get you something. They wanted to remember you, and they are showing you a grace by getting you a gift. I'll joke about how, you know, Santa's watching. You better be good, because if you're not good, there ain't going to be anything under the tree for you. And yet that's never true. Bless you. Listen, I'm not that great of a guy, and there's always something under the tree for me. Somebody will go under the tree, and they'll find a box, And I'll read the name on it, and it'll be your name. Somebody got it just for you. Maybe even in spite of how you've been acting the last few days. That's what grace is. Grace gives you something you didn't deserve. That's what grace is. It's a free gift. It's the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is you were given a free gift, a gift you so desperately did not deserve. But He loved you, and He gave you a gift. It's the message of your Christmas tree at your house. You will have presents under your tree if this is a tradition you follow. And you will find gifts under there, regardless of how you've been acting. And do you know what's expected in return for your gift? Nothing. Nothing. Because it's not about works. It's about a gift that is freely given. One of the hardest things I had to learn as a pastor, some people can give and receive. Other people just like to receive, and other people just like to give, right? Givers have a hard time receiving. So, just my nature. If somebody gives me a gift, I want to give them a gift back. Well, as a pastor, bless you, this becomes pretty complicated, right? Everybody wants to give a gift. I can't give everybody a gift back. I just have to learn how to receive. So here's the rule with Christmas trees. Here's how Christmas trees bear their fruit. You have to go to the tree and get the gift, right? So I don't know what day, you know, different families do things different. Some celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve. Some do it Christmas morning. Sometimes we open gifts a week early because family's busy and things like that. But however you do it, you all have to come together, right? You have to show up if you want your gift. That's not complicated. Remember, number of years ago, we had a family member, and we'd all picked out gifts for the family member, but they tended to be kind of floating around a lot. But we picked out gifts, and we wrapped them, and we put them under the tree, and we let them know what day we were going to open presents, invited them to come by, and, well, they were just busy that day. It's like, yeah, that's really not a good day for us to come by. I had a party to go to, or friends they were hanging out with, or things were just going on. And so they said, you know what, we'll just bop by, just save our presents, we'll bop by after the first of the year and pick them up. You know what I said? No. No. You have dishonored my grace. I wasn't trying to be harsh. Christmas trees, like all trees, have a due season, right? You don't go to Christmas trees in April. They're in the attic. And when you try to secure the gift on your own terms, you insult the giver. See, when they say we'll do it later, what they're doing is casually dismissing the gift I gave them. You don't get to receive free gifts on your own terms, in your own timelines. So, like all trees, Christmas trees, they have a fruit window. There is always a fruit window, regardless of what tree you're looking at. And almost every tree has fruit that goes unclaimed. I didn't really understand this until I came to Arizona. Man, I'm just getting bags full of lemons. Bags and bags and bags and boxes full of oranges and grapefruits. And it's just like they're coming out of the sky. And you drive down the road and you see all the trees just, they're all over the ground. That's unclaimed fruit. Just unclaimed. That's all it is. Unclaimed fruit becomes food for the birds and the worms, the dogs, and whoever will. So unclaimed fruit still goes claimed. Somebody takes it. So this morning, if you have eyes to see and if you have ears to hear, maybe you already see, maybe you already understand the picture of our little tree. Our little tree over here is a picture of God's grace in your life. See, God loved you, and He extended to you a gift, grace, something you didn't deserve. He sent His Son to you. It was kind of a big gift. And He gave it freely to the whole world. It was a gift He picked out just for you. He knew exactly what you needed. And He got it for you. He secured it for you. There's only one rule to the gift. You have to come and get it. You have to come and get it. See, the funny thing about salvation is, well, you can't get it for somebody else. You know, maybe people are too busy to come by and pick up their gift of salvation. Can you just pick that up for me while you're there? No, I can't. Sometimes you see this picture with the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. See, the 5 foolish had not brought oil with them. And they went to the 5 who had and said, Could you loan us? Can you share with us? See, I can't share with you my relationship with Him. I can't share my salvation with you. I can tell you about it. I can tell you where to go get it. But you have to make the trip. You have to come and get it. It's a choice you will make. I can promise you this, friends. Nobody is going to end up in heaven by accident. It's a choice that you will make. It's a decision of heart you make. And like our tree over here, the gift God gave you, it has a time limit on it. There is a window. See, the work of Jesus on the cross, it's a free gift to anybody who would come and get it. Eternal life is the gift. It's available to you right now. It's available to you right up until the moment when you cross over and you leave this earth. After that, once the threshold is crossed, you already have to have the gift in your possession. It is not possible to pick it up after that. There's just no way to claim it. It's too late. Greatest gift ever given. The forgiveness of your sins and the promise of eternal life. One size fits all. And quite literally never goes out of style. It's exactly what you need. And when you take the time to open it, you'll find it's exactly what you want it to. I mean, we all get presents. It's like, thank you. Clearly, you don't know me. But thank you. I mean, I appreciate you thinking of me, but this sweater with light-up reindeers? That's you. That's not me. You understand? People who know me know what I want. And sometimes you open the present and you think, thanks. But then you actually start using and go, wow, this actually turned out to be a really great present. I really like this. The thing is, many people have heard about this free gift. I can't imagine you're sitting here today and have never heard about it. Yet, people still don't claim it. That's beyond me. I've never understood that. And in this truth, gifts gone unclaimed, you see another parable that our tree always works out. See, every year there's gifts left over. Every year. I just put them in a box in the back. I don't understand that. It's a free gift. It's brand new. If you don't like it, put it on eBay. I mean, I just don't understand. It's a free gift. And yet, every year, I'll have some left over. And I do try to guess the right amount, but if I'm short, we'll just buy more. It's not a problem. But every year, way more people than I bought gifts pass through these doors. Every year. People don't take them. I mention it. Your gift is right there on the tree. All you got to do is come get it. They don't take them. I don't know why that is. Maybe they don't want to burden the church with the expense. Maybe they're afraid they're going to take somebody else's gift. Right? I don't want to take that. I don't really go to this church. That's not what this is about. For whatever reason, they leave without their gift. I don't get that. And yet, many times, people have heard about Jesus and heard about Jesus and heard about him, and they still don't claim their gift. It's bizarre to me. There's no restrictions on our tree. Anybody who has a pulse is free to have a present. Everybody. There's only one rule, and I do take the rule fairly seriously. You can only take yours. And some says, well, you know, my husband couldn't make it today. Can I just take his? No. No, because you missed the parable. The gift is here, but you have to come and get it. It's free, but you got to show up. You ever heard the saying, God doesn't have any grandkids? It's true. There is no second generation. If you want to receive the gift God gave you, you have to come and receive it yourself. You can't receive it for a spouse or a friend or a child. You have to come and you have to receive the gift. And that is the parable of the tree that we have here. I'll close with this. What is here under the tree, I actually did pick out specifically. It was chosen just for you, but it's just a book. In fact, it's a book you may already own. I have no promise of salvation for you under the tree. If you come to the tree and grab your book, you will not end up with eternal life. The tree is simply a picture that shows the way to a better promise. See, there is a promise of salvation. There is a promise of eternal life. And that too is a free gift. But you do have to come and get it. There's not a single person in this room that has not fallen short of God's standards. Every one of you, myself included, have fallen short. And there is literally nothing you can do to bridge the gap to make it okay. You, me, all of us, every one of us is completely without hope. That is until the advent of Jesus, till the Savior came. He would carry our burden and he would die for our sins. He would take his perfect work and then he would offer that before the Father on our behalf. It was a gift of grace given to you. And so he says, whosoever will. That means you have to make the choice. You have to decide. Can't send your mom to go pick up your salvation for you. She's not enrolled in this class. Every man comes of his own volition, and every man confesses his own sin. And every man receives the free gift of forgiveness that is in Christ alone. That tree will be up until the first of the year. After that, the window will close and the books will go back into storage. The thing about the gift God gave you is I can't tell you when the window closes. I can just tell you there's a hard line and it does close. I can't promise you tomorrow because I don't know what your curve looks like. And so that means today is the day of salvation. That means today is the day you need to make your choice. I can tell you if you are here today, there is enough books for everybody to go home with one. I can promise you today you'll get one. I can promise you if you'll come and give your heart to Christ, He will receive you. If you'll repent of your sins, He will make a way for you and receive you into His kingdom. But I cannot promise you what happens tomorrow. So today is a good day. It's a good day to get your book. And it's a good day to receive Christ. Because I can't tell you what happens tomorrow. I like parables. Parables are wonderful. And it sits right out there in the open so everybody can see it. And some will understand it, and some will have no idea what's going on. So today, if you have ears, listen. If you got eyes, see. And if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't met Him, if you haven't asked Him to be your Savior, don't let another day get by. Father, I bless your people today. I thank you for them. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen and build them up and encourage them. I pray, Father, that you would help us, Father, to lay down our strength and to come humbly to the cross, to receive what you gave us, to receive the gift you have for us. Father, I pray that you would give each one of us here today eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray, Father, we would understand what was done for us, the great price that was paid for us, and the gift that was made available to us, and that you would help us, Lord, to avail ourselves of that gift. Thank you for your Son. Thank you, Father, for a grace, a gift we just simply did not deserve, and yet you gave it to us. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.